Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar and Dir Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, the fourth parak Lulav VaRava. So the three daps we're going to focus on number one, and Daf Mem Heyam and Beis. A Malchukas is brought regarding the brachas recited for the mitzvahs of Lulav and Sukkah. Rabbi Yochanan ruled that a bracha is recited on the Sukkah on all 7 days. The Gemara challenges this based on a brisa that taught that when one enters a Sukkah during the Chag to sit in it, he makes the bracha of Leishib is Sukkah, the Kevin Shaberach Yom Rishon Shuv in a Mavarach. And once he has recited this bracha on the first day of the Chag, he does not recite the bracha on the subsequent days. The Gemara answers that the question of whether a bracha on the Sukkah is recited all 7 days is dependent on a Malchukas Tanaim regarding Tefillin. For it was taught in a brisa, Tefillin calls man shemenichin mevarachal hen divrei Rebbe. Rebbe said that Tefillin, every time one puts them on, one recites a bracha over them. And the Chachamim say, Eino mevarach el shachris bevad. One recites a bracha in the morning only, no more than once a day. We see that according to Rebbe, one recites multiple brachas in a single day. Similarly, Rabbi Yochanan holds that although all 7 days of sukkahs are regarded as one long day, since the sukkah obligation is day and night, one recites brachas all 7 days. Point number two is taught in a brisa. Hayulafana mitzvahs harbe omer borchata Hashem vitzivanu oha mitzvahs. If there are many mitzvahs before a person to be performed, which Rashi explains can mean one who is ready to take a luv, twan a sukkah, put on tefillin and wrap himself in a tallis, he recites a bracha and has commanded us regarding his mitzvahs. Rabbi Yehuda says that he recites a bracha for each and every mitzvah individually. Rabbi Zera said, and some say it was Rabbi Chanina bar Papa who said, the Rabbi Yehuda's reason is based on the pasuk Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Blessed is Hashem day by day. Now, can it mean that we bless Hashem only by day and not by night? Surely not. Rather, the pasuk is coming to say that b'chol yom v'yom tengo me'im b'chosav. On every single day, give him the bracha appropriate for that day. Rashi explains that on Shabbos, we recite a bracha appropriate to Shabbos, and in Yantav, we recite a bracha that's appropriate for Yantav. Here, too, with regard to various mitzvahs, b'chol davar v'davar tengo me'im b'chosav. For each and every mitzvah, give him the appropriate bracha for that matter, and do not group the brachas together. And point number three, the Gemara brings a Malchukas regarding when the Esrog and Sukkah are permitted for mundane use. Rabbi Yochanan said, Esrog bishvi asur, bishmini mutter, Sukkah afil bishmini asura. An Esrog is forbidden for use as food on the 7th day, after one has fulfilled his chiyuv with it, whereas on Shmini Atzeres, it's permitted. A Sukkah, however, is forbidden for use as firewood even on the 8th day. Reish Lakish said, Esrog afil bishvi nami mutter, an Esrog even on the 7th day is permitted. The Gemara explains what the point of contention is between them. Reish Lakish holds the mitzvah se iskatsai. The esrog was set aside only for the performance of the mitzvah. As soon as one concludes the mitzvah, the esrog may be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan holds uchul yoma iskatsai. The esrog was set aside for the entire day. Since the esrog was prohibited when the day began, it remains prohibited the entire day. Rabbi Yochanan understands the Mishnah permitting the adults to eat the children's esrogim on the 7th day as only applying to the children's esrogim, which were not designated for a full-fledged mitzvah, but only for chinuch. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, Malchukas was brought regarding the brachas recited for the mitzvahs of Luv and Sukkah, and Rabbi Yochanan ruled that a brachas recited on the Sukkah on all 7 days. The Gemara challenges this based on a brisa that taught that when one enters a Sukkah during the Chag to sit in it, he makes the bracha b'leishib b'sukkah, v'kevin sheberach yom rishon shuvein mevarach. And once he has recited his bracha on the first day of the Chag, he doesn't recite the bracha on the subsequent days. The Gemara answers that the question of whether a bracha on the Sukkah is recited all 7 days is dependent on a Malchukas Tanaim regarding tefillin. For it was taught in a brisa, tefillin calls man shemenichin mevarach alehen divrei Rebbe. Rebbe said that tefillin, every time one puts them on, one recites a bracha over them. And the Chachamim say, Eino mevarach el shachris bevad. One recites a bracha in the morning only, no more than once a day. We see that according to Rebbe, one recites multiple brachas in a single day. Similarly, Rabbi Yochanan holds that although all 7 days of sukkahs are regarded as one long day, since the sukkah obligation is day and night, one recites brachas all 7 days. Point number two is taught in a brisa, Hayulafana mitzvahs harbe, omer baruch ata Hashem, v'tzivanu al ha-mitzvahs. If there are many mitzvahs before a person to be performed, which Rashi explains could mean one is ready to take a luv, to want a sukkah, put on tefillin, and wrap himself in a tallis, he recites a bracha and has commanded us regarding his mitzvahs. Rabbi Yehuda says that he recites a bracha for each and every mitzvah individually. Rabbi Zera said, and some say it was Rabbi Chanina bar Papa who said, that Rabbi Yehuda's reason is based on the pasuk Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Blessed is Hashem day by day. Now, can it mean that we bless Hashem only by day and not by night? Surely not. Rather, the pasuk is coming to say that b'chol yom yom ten wo me'im b'chosav. On every single day, give him the bracha appropriate for that day. Rashi explains that on Shabbos, we recite a bracha appropriate to Shabbos, and in Yantav, we recite a bracha that's appropriate for Yantav. Here, too, with regard to various mitzvahs, b'chol davar v'davar ten wo me'im b'chosav. for each and every mitzvah, give him the appropriate bracha for that matter, and do not group the brachas together. And pointing with you, the Gemara brings a machlokas regarding when the esrog and sukkah are permitted for mundane use. Rabbi Yochanan said, esrog b'shvi asur, b'shmini mutter, sukkah afil b'shmini asura. An esrog is forbidden for use as food on the seventh day after one has fulfilled his chiyuv with it, whereas on Shmini Atzeres is permitted. A sukkah, however, is forbidden for use as firewood even on the eighth day. Reish Lakish said, esrog afil b'shvi nami mutter. An esrog even on the seventh day is permitted. The Gemara explains what the point of contention is between them. Reish Lakish holds, l'mitzvasi iskatsai, the esrog was set aside only for the performance of the mitzvah. As soon as one concludes the mitzvah, the esrog may be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan holds the kol yom iskatsai. The esrog was set aside for the entire day. Since the esrog was prohibited when the day began, it remains prohibited the entire day. Rabbi Yochanan understands the Mishnah permitting the adults to eat the children's esrogim on the seventh day as only applying to the children's esrogim, which were not designated for a full-fledged mitzvah, but only for chinuch. All right, so now we go to our Simper Daf Mem Vav, and our standard simon is a cow going moo. So here goes. The cowboy who loved to ring his cow's cowbell every time he made a bracha when he entered the sukkah, started ringing it repeatedly when he saw his lulav, tefillin, and talis in there too, and got so distracted he accidentally took a bite out of his esrog when he wasn't allowed to. So once again, it's a motion. The cowboy who loved to ring his cow's cowbell, cow, that must be worn duff, mem vav. The cowboy who loved to ring his cow's cowbell every time he made a bracha when he entered the sukkah, which reminds us of the Gemara challenged Rabbi Yochanan's ruling that a bracha is recited on the sukkah on all 7 days, based on a brisa that taught that when one enters the sukkah during the chag to sit in it, he makes the bracha of leisha b'sukkah, and once he's recited his bracha on the first day of the chag, he doesn't recite the bracha on the subsequent days. The Gemara answers that the question of whether a bracha on the sukkah is recited all 7 days is dependent on a machlokas tanaim regarding tefillin. According to Rebbe, one recites a bracha every time one puts on tefillin, which could be multiple times in a single day. Similarly, Rabbi Yochanan holds that although all 7 days of sukkahs are regarded as one long day, since the sukkah obligation is day and night, one recites brachas all 7 days. So the cowboy who loved to ring his cow's cowbell every time he made a bracha when he entered the sukkah started ringing it repeatedly when he saw his lulav, tefillin, and talis in there too. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa, if there are many mitzvahs before a person to be performed, which Rashi explains could mean one is ready to take off lulav, dwell in a sukkah, put on tefillin, and wrap himself in a talis, he recites a bracha v'tzivanu ha-mitzvahs. Rabbi Yudah said that he recites a bracha over each and every mitzvah individually. Rabbi Yudah's reason is based on the pasuk, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, which is coming to say, B'chol Yom Yom, Tenu Me'in Birchosav, on every single day, given the bracha appropriate for that day. Here too, with regard to various mitzvahs, B'chol Davar V'davar, Tenu Me'in Birchosav, for each and every mitzvah, give him the appropriate bracha for that matter, and do not group the brachas together. So the cowboy who loved to ring his cow's cowbell every time he had a bracha when he entered the sukkah started ringing it repeatedly when he saw his lulav, tefillin, and talis in there too, and got so distracted he accidentally took a bite out of his esrog when he wasn't allowed to. Which reminds Reish Lakish holds regarding an esrog, l'mitzvasa iskatsai, an esrog was set aside only for the performance of the mitzvah. As soon as one concludes the mitzvah, the esrog may be eaten on the seventh day. Rabbi Yochanan holds the kol yom iskatsai. The esrog was set aside for the entire day. Since the esrog was prohibited when the day began, it remains prohibited the entire day, and so I mutter to eat on the eighth day. So once again, the cowboy loved to ring his cow's cowbell every time he made a bracha when he entered the sukkah, started ringing it repeatedly when he saw his lulav, tefillin, and talis in there too, and got so distracted he accidentally took a bite out of his esrog when he wasn't allowed to. All right, now it's time for a four-block Baal Chazara. Daf Mem Base. So the Simmer Daf Mem Base is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Base. The mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Jerusha Rabim, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi said that if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos and one inadvertently carried his lulav into Jerusha Rabim, he's not Chayv HaChatas because he carried it out with permission to do a mitzvah. Rashi explains that he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, thinking about it and rushing to do it, and Rabbi Yossi holds a Torah B'dvar mitzvah is pater. Abai said the Mishnah refers only to where he's not yet fulfilled his chiyuv of lulav at the time he carries it out, but if he had, he would be Chayv. Abai said this would be in a case where one inverted it, meaning he picked up the lulav upside down. Rava said you may even say where he did not invert it, rather it would be where he carried it out in a kli. And even though Rava is the one who holds l'kicha yidei davar akir shmalakicha, that's only when it's derech kavod, not derech bezayon, in a disrespectful way. So the mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Rishus HaRabim, got poked again by kids passing by, who were shaking their lulavim while singing towards evil Anamosha, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, a child who knows how to wave the lulav is chayv in the mitzvah. In addition, the Braisa taught that if the child knows how to wrap himself, he's chayv in tzitzis. If he knows how to guard the kedusha of tefillin properly, his father buys tefillin for him. And if he knows how to talk, his father teaches him Torah and Kriya Shema. The Gemara asks, what is meant here by Torah? And Reb Hamnuna said, it means that father teaches the child the pasuk of Torah tzivu Anamosha, Marasha Kios Yaakov. And Kriya Shema here means Pasuk Rishon, the first Pasuk. So the mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Shushu Rabim, got poked again by kids passing by, who were shaking their lulavim while singing towards Sivolan and Moshe, as they headed Dalet Amos towards the neighborhood Baki to learn the halachos. Which reminds us that we learned the chiyuv of lulav is not docha Shabbos, it falls on the final 6 days of Sukkot. Then when asked why it should be forbidden to take a lulav in the base of Mikdash, it's still to ba'amahu v'litchi Shabbos. The only concern is handling the lulav, which is a muktzah prohibition, and since it doesn't involve a deraisa, let this mitzvah be docha Shabbos. Rabbi answered, gezer shem yitlana biyado v'yelech eitzo baki lumo. The Rabban were gozer against taking a lulav on Shabbos, lest one take it in his hand and go to an expert to learn the halachos v'yavirenu arba amos b'shus rabim, and inadvertently will carry it dalet amos in b'shus rabim. And the Gemara adds that this is the same reason against blowing the shofar on a Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, and for the decree against reading the Megillah on a Purim that falls on Shabbos. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The Sukkot magazine. That must be learned Daf Mem Gimel. The Sukkot magazine found by a Yid cutting a lulav off the tree on Shabbos, which reminds us, Rabbi Yezer holds that lulav a kol makshir of dochens and Shabbos, the mitzvah of lulav and all its preliminaries are dochens Shabbos based on the pasuk b'yom b'afil b'Shabbos. Makshir a lulav include activities such as cutting the lulav from a tree or binding it with the other meaning. The Rabban who prohibit makshir a lulav on Shabbos learned from the pasuk b'yom that the mitzvah of lulav is only by day and not at night. So the Sukkot magazine found by a Yid cutting a lulav off the tree on Shabbos featured a cover story on why Arabos are Docher Shabbos on the seventh day, which reminds us Rabbi Yochanan said the reason that the Arabos ceremony is done on the seventh day is Kedei Lefarsam HaShehi Min HaTorah in order to publicize the fact that it's a Deraisa. There's not a Gezerah prohibiting it lest one carry a Dalet Amos into Rishus Rabbim like there is for Lulav, since Shulchei Basin bring the branches of the temple courtyard every Shabbos and the mitzvah is then done by only the Kohanim, whereas Lulav is given to everyone to do and therefore there's a greater likelihood that one will inadvertently transgress. So the Sukkot magazine found by a Yid cutting a lulav off the tree on Shabbos featured a cover story on why Arabos are Docher Shabbos on the seventh day, with a picture of Kohanim taking the Arabos in hand and then placing them around the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings some halachos regarding how the Arabos ceremony is done. Rav Yosef holds the whole ceremony is done b'zakifa, by standing the Arabos up around the Mizbeach. Abai holds that the ceremony first entails netilah, taking the Arabos in hand and circling the Mizbeach, which is then followed by Zakifa, standing the branches up around the Mizbeach. Abai brings a proof that it was first done with Netilah based on the incident with the Baitosim. Daf Mem Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. The Kohen Baal Mum with mud on his garments, mud, that must be more on Daf Mem Dalet. The Kohen Baal Mum with mud on his garments was dreaming of the day that he'd be able to take the Arabos around the Mizbeach, which reminds us that Samachus Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, whether Kohanim Baal Mum may enter the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach in order to fulfill the chiyuv of a Rava, even though it's generally forbidden for them to do so the rest of the year. So the Kohen Baal Mum with mud on his garments was dreaming the day that he'd be able to take the Aravas around the Mizbeach, as he held the Aravas on the seventh day in a shul, according to the Minhag Nevim, which reminds us, it's a Malchus Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, whether the Aravas is a Yesod Nevim or a Minhag Nevim. Rashi explains that a Yesod Nevim means that it was enacted by the latter prophets, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, who instituted a number of rabbinic enactments during the time on the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Minhag Nevim means that they merely institute the customary performance of the Arava ceremony. The nafkamina between them is that there's no bracha for Minhag Nevim, since the word Vitzivanu, who has commanded us, cannot be said. So the Kohen Baal Mum with mud on his garments was dreaming of the day that he'd be able to take the Aravas around the Mizbeach, as he held the Aravas on the seventh day in a shul, according to the Minhag Nevim, making sure not to take the Aravas in his lulav. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yami said that the Arava requires a minimum shear, and it may only be taken alone, and a prisoner cannot fulfill his chiv with the Arava that is in the lulav. Rabbi Yami is coming to teach that even if the prisoner took the Arava in his lulav once and then lifted it again, l'shem Arava, he would not be Yotze. But Rav Chisson, the name of Rabbi Yitzhak, disagrees and says that he would be Yotze. Daf Mem Hei, so the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. So here goes. The festive Monopoly board, Monopoly, that must be run Daf Mem Hei, Monopoly. The festive Monopoly board that featured 11 Ama'aravos placed around it, which reminds us that 11 Ama'aravos were brought and stood up around the Mizbeach, so they would be leaning over the Mizbeach and Amma. This implies that they're placed on the Yesod of the Mizbeach, because if they're placed on the ground, they would need to incline two Amos, given that the Mizbeach was 9 Amos high and had two protrusions of an Amma each for the Yesod and the Sobah, which would mean the Aravos would surely touch the roof of the Mizbeach. So the festive Monopoly board that featured 11 Ama'aravos placed around it was brought out only on Isru Chag, which reminds Rabbi Abba, who taught that the source which teaches that the Aravos must rise above the Mizbeach is the Pasuk Isru Chag Ba'abosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. We also learn from that Pasuk, Kol Ose Isru Chag Ba'achilu Shtiyah Mal Ba'kasv Ki'u Ban Mizbeach Ba'hikru of Karban. Whoever joins the Chag to eating and drinking, the Pasuk regards him as if he built HaMizbeach and brought a carbon on it. Some say this refers to Isru Chag. So the festive Monopoly board that featured 11 Ama'aravos placed around it was brought out only on Isru Chag for the 36 best-behaved children to play with in turns. Which reminds us, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Re'isi b'nei Aliyah behen mu'atin, I've seen the people of the highest level and they are few, he was referring to those, the Mestakli b'Aspaklari ha-Me'ira, that view the Shekhinah through a clear screen, as opposed to the 18,000 rows of Tzaddikim standing before Kodesh Baruch Hu, who do not, and even the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim that receive the Shekhinah every day, who do see through Aspaklari ha-Me'ira, they need to enter with permission, whereas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is referring to those who may enter without permission. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Golden. Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.